Good morning. It's April 11th and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. In a stark demonstration of the housing squeeze, Perth and Sydney are in the throes of severe rental crises, marked by sky-high rents and vanishing vacancies. This situation is not just about numbers. It's affecting lives directly, with a notable surge in pet surrender requests in Perth, underscoring the financial strain on renters. In Perth, the rental market has seen an unprecedented spike, with house and unit rents climbing by 18% and 22% respectively. This has pushed the median asking rent to $650 a week for houses. Meanwhile, Sydney is not far behind, with median asking rents hitting $750 a week for houses and $700 a week for units. Across Australia, the rental market is witnessing its highest quarterly rent increase in nearly two decades, with the median cost of renting a house reaching a record $630 a week. The root cause of this crisis lies in a potent mix of high demand and scarce supply, further aggravated by a lack of investment in housing construction, including a downturn in public housing projects. Experts point out that a healthy vacancy rate of at least 3% is essential to stabilise rental prices, a benchmark both Perth and Sydney currently fail to meet. In a different vein, the Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance has taken a stand by writing to Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Foreign Minister Penny Wong, urging them to press the US government to abandon its charges against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. This move comes as President Joe Biden acknowledges considering Australia's request to drop the charges against Assange, highlighting a pivotal moment in Australia's media landscape amidst the ongoing housing turmoil. In a move that could reshape the international landscape, Australian leaders have voiced their support for recognising Palestine as a state, amidst a global conversation on achieving peace through a two-state solution. This stance, however, has ignited a firestorm of debate within the nation, challenging traditional alliances and stirring a complex dialogue on security and diplomacy. Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong and Prime Minister Anthony Albanese have publicly backed the idea of Palestine statehood, aligning Australia with a growing international push for a two-state solution to the long-standing Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This significant policy shift seeks to address one of the most enduring and contentious issues in international relations, aiming to foster peace and stability in a region marked by decades of strife. The proposal has not been without its detractors, sparking a domestic controversy that underscores the complexities of international diplomacy. Concerns over prioritising statehood above security considerations have emerged, alongside strained relations with Jewish groups and the Israeli ambassador to Australia. These tensions reflect the broader global debate over the path to peace in the Middle East. On the international stage, the momentum towards recognising Palestinian statehood is gaining traction. The United Nations is contemplating granting full membership to Palestine, with countries like Spain and the UK voicing their support for a two-state solution. This international backing underscores a shifting consensus towards addressing the Palestinian quest for statehood as part of the peace process. Despite criticism from opposition leader Peter Dutton, who has voiced concerns over the government's approach, the Australian government maintains that its stance is in step with international discussions and is aimed at serving the interests of both Israelis and Palestinians. The Australian position on the Israel-Palestine issue marks a notable evolution in its foreign policy, reflecting the dynamic nature of global diplomatic efforts to resolve one of the world's most intractable conflicts. As the situation continues to develop, the outcome remains uncertain, with Australia's evolving stance indicative of the broader international re-evaluation of the path to peace in the Middle East. In a landmark decision by the Australian Football League, Port Adelaide forward Jeremy Finlayson has been handed a three-match suspension and is required to undergo an education program after using a homophobic slur during a game against Essendon. This incident marks a significant moment in AFL history, being the first time a player has faced suspension for homophobic remarks, underscoring the league's commitment to fostering an inclusive and respectful environment. The AFL's response to this incident was shaped by Finlayson's own actions post-incident, including his admission of guilt, public apologies, and expressed remorse. These factors contributed to the determination of the sanction's severity. Finlayson, for his part, has committed to attending Pride and Sport training at his own expense, signalling a personal commitment to understanding and addressing the impact of his actions. This decision by the AFL not only reflects a shift in how the league addresses issues of homophobia, but also sets a precedent for how similar incidents will be handled in the future. The league, along with the AFL Players Association, has emphasised the importance of creating a safe and inclusive space for all, including LGBTQI+ communities. The AFL has pledged to enhance training on vilification and its effects, indicating a long-term commitment to cultural change within the sport. The incident and its aftermath have also seen Port Adelaide's leadership, including club president David Koch, issue unreserved apologies and affirm the club's support for Finlayson and his family during this period. The club is committed to providing education not just for Finlayson, but for the broader team, reinforcing the collective responsibility to uphold the values of inclusivity and respect. This moment is a clear message from the AFL and its community. Homophobia has no place in the game, and future violations will be met with stringent measures. It's a call to all involved in the sport to reflect on their actions and the impact they have on others, ensuring that the AFL remains a welcoming space for everyone. In a heart-wrenching revelation, the coronial inquest into the death of Indigenous teen Cleveland Dodd has shed light on the appalling conditions of a Perth prison's youth wing before his tragic death in October 2023. This story not only mourns a young life lost, but also calls into question the state of juvenile detention in Australia. A nurse's testimony during the inquest painted a grim picture of the detention environment, revealing a stark lack of clinical treatment areas. More disturbingly, detainees, including Cleveland, were held in cells without running water for over 22 hours a day. The conditions were described as dirty and unlivable, a situation that no young person should ever have to endure. The nurse's account went further to describe the overwhelming challenges faced by the prison staff, highlighting a high turnover rate among them. Senior officers, it was revealed, did little to address significant issues such as detainees covering the cameras in their cells, compromising their safety and security. The circumstances surrounding Cleveland Dodd's death underscore a pressing need for systemic reform. It's a call to action for improving the conditions and support systems for youth in detention, ensuring that such a tragedy is never repeated. This case is a stark reminder of the urgent need for change in how young individuals in correctional facilities are treated and supported. In a poignant reflection on the mental health challenges faced by military personnel, the story of former Navy diver Ashley Simmons brings to light the stark realities of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, within the Australian Defence Force, or ADF. After experiencing a traumatic event on duty, Simmons' battle with PTSD led to a suicide attempt in 2020, underscoring the urgent need for support and understanding in addressing veteran mental health. Recent research commissioned by the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide reveals a harrowing statistic. An ADF member seeks first-time emergency help for suicide every 4 hours. This study, shedding light on the depth of the crisis, found that over 1,600 veterans had suicide-related engagements with Queensland Police or paramedics between 2014 and 2017. It paints a picture of a community in distress, often silent in their suffering due to fears of job loss should they disclose mental health issues. This research challenges previously held beliefs that remaining in the Defence Force could mitigate suicide risks. Instead, it establishes a clear link between service in the ADF and an increased risk of suicide, suggesting that the very nature of military service may contribute to mental health struggles among veterans. as the Royal Commission is set to deliver its final report by September 9th. There's a beacon of hope that these findings will lead to significant changes in how veteran mental health is addressed. For those in crisis or in need of counselling, support is available, offering a crucial lifeline in times of need. This has been your daily brief in Australian news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.